Hello and welcome to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on Black and White and Red All Over. This is your host, Danny, coming to you for episode number 36, the Manuel Giandonato episode. Sergio, you're right. We are definitely scraping the bottom of the barrel in the 30s. Congratulations.
This was bound to happen. It was logically bound to happen, but you know, it was good while it lasted. Though I enjoyed it, but it was like 20 numbers.
That's right. We're probably gonna have to find a new shtick to come up with once we hit the 40s. But anyways, obviously we've got a lot to talk about since the schedule is relenting and unforgiving at this point. Especially what's ahead. So let me first bring in, we are Chucksless this week. So first let me bring in Sam LaPresti. Hello, Sam.
It's snowing again, Danny.
Welcome to February in New Jersey.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, after 2 days of complete and utter shutdown earlier in the week, 5 to 8 more inches is just yay.
Yay. And somebody who is sitting where it's definitely not snowing is Sergio Romero. Hello, Sergio.
Hey, fellas. Happy to be here as always. I'm taking 1 week off from the pod, but happy to be here back again, the 70s, which is it's pretty nice, actually.
We shake our fists at you, Sergio.
No complaints, really. It's fine.
Yeah. How's it sitting there in shorts and a t-shirt, Sergio?
Well, I have to wear a hoodie, so, you know, it's not all sunshine and, like, awesomeness, but, you know, it's fine. I can live with that.
Well, it could be, seeing as it's in the 70s, it could be all sunshine outside.
Well, that's true, but 70s is kind of, you know, chilly for us down here, so.
Chilly.
Don't want to catch a cold or something.
Chilly. All right. Speaking of a place that's rather chilly these days, Northern Italy, and as we saw, rather rainy at Allianz Stadium Saturday night. However, not so gloomy as the weather was Juventus's performance. And as we've been saying these last few weeks, we're starting to see Andrea Pirlo adapt very much to the situation as a manager. And I mean, it was very much a defensive win rather than an attacking performance. And whoever'd like to jump in here first, what did you think of Andrea Pirlo channeling his inner Max Allegri?
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was, it showed like I said in my match recap, I think I showed an astute side to him, because here is a Roma team coming in without their main playmaker and Lorenzo Pellegrini, like Bren had mentioned last week when he was joining us, and we're without their big finisher in Edin Dzeko. And so why not just set yourself up and let Roma have a bunch of sterile possession and hit them when you can hit them? And that's exactly what happened. I don't think that it would have been the right call if Dzeko had been starting, because I don't, it, in that half hour that Dzeko was on the field, I think that the Roma attack started looking a little bit more dangerous. Dzeko was winning more physical duels, winning more aerial duels. Chiellini kind of wiped the floor with Borja Valero, Borja Mayoral, different Borja. And it worked. It was a smart decision. It was an adaptable decision. And it's really showing, like you said, the growth of Andrea Pirlo as a coach, to be doing what to be taking in the situation and recognizing it for what it is and making a change to what he normally wants to do. It was the mark of a coach far more mature than he is in terms of how much experience he has. And I thought that it was really, really encouraging.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, as someone who was an unabashed Max Allegri defender and stan at the time, That's what I enjoyed the most about him as a manager, you know, that ability to kind of say the way I prefer to play is not going to work against this or that team. So I'm just going to have to, you know, bite the bullet and try to play differently. And I think that was a lot of of his success as a Juventus coach. You know, the arguably his two best seasons, you know, the two seasons in which they made the Champions League final, they were, you know, they got there with completely different teams and completely different setups, you know, under the same manager, which is, I think, a compliment to, you know, how he could be malleable, how he could adapt to the circumstances of his roster and his opponents. So the fact that Andrea Pirlo is already kind of, we're starting to see this type of, you know, adaptability with him, you know, with, I don't know, 6 months on the job. I mean, I think that's pretty, that's pretty remarkable, and that's pretty impressive. I mentioned it in the graph back for this week that with Maurizio Sarri last year, it was pretty much the same throughout the year, right? I mean, what was good remained good, and the issues that there were, there remained issues until his very last game, right? Like you couldn't really see a lot of progress. You couldn't really see a very different team. And with Andrea Pirlo, in the early goings of the second half, we're already seeing that difference. You know, we're already seeing, okay, the first matchup against Roma, it was a 2-2 draw. They took advantage of that high press. They counter us, you know, to that. They had a bunch of chances on the counter. And this time, what am I going to do differently? Well, I'm going to absorb a little bit more pressure. I'm going to, you know, be a bit more defensive. Now I'm going to try to counter them. And I think that worked. And, you know, we saw the result. It wasn't a game that's going to be, you know, talked about in, you know, years. It wasn't the most, you know, interestingly or appealing game. But it got the job done. And just, you know, if you're just looking at the progress of the team and Andrea Pirlo as a manager, I think this is one of the first thing that you have to say that was really impressive, you know, just that ability to learn from your mistakes and adapt your team and adapt your strategy for the rival. And I think that was pretty impressive overall, even if the game itself wasn't the most, you know, there was not a lot of fireworks necessarily on the game, but, you know, seeing it, you also never really thought that Roma was going to come back, honestly. And I think that was really, really impressive because Roma is not a bad team. I mean, they were third in the league. I mean, now they're fourth, but they're still, that's a good team. And that was a quality win.
I also thought that when you look at Pirlo as an in-game manager, I think that he also was making the right decisions there too. And that's something that I think has been, with one or two exceptions late in the 2020 calendar year, I think has been a hallmark of his game. I think he made a really good move early to get Kulusevski and Cuadrado on, try to get a little bit more into the counterattack, and that produced the second goal. I think, you know, were we legit playing a five-man back line at the end of the game? I think we were.
It was essentially that, because you had Demiral, De Ligt, Chiellini, and then
Danilo
Cuadrado
was out on the left at that point.
Danilo was on the left. So yeah, it was basically five-man back line.
Yeah. And you know, that was just, you know, just clam up and finish it. And I think that it was, you know, the way he changed things around in mid-game worked just as well.
A few people, I was talking with a couple of people during the game, just of back and forth on Twitter, and they were mentioning that, you know, as much as, say, we'd like De Ligt to be, you know, playing, say, as much as he was, or maybe close to as much as he was in the first half of the season, where he went on, what was it, 10 straight games of 90 or so minutes. But anyways, that, you know, Pirlo can now, with Chiellini being in this kind of form, he can be, say, a little more defensive than he'd like to. Because as we're seeing with Chiellini in there, Bonucci is suddenly playing a whole lot better too. And we've mentioned that before, kind of that Batman and Robin dynamic where, you know, Chiellini, when he's out there, he's the clear number one. Bonucci is the clear number two, where I say, as much as we love De Ligt, he might not kind of have that, you know, he's obviously a leader of the future, but he maybe doesn't say tower over quote unquote tower over Bonucci like Chiellini does. And I think Chiellini's ability to these last few weeks to stay healthy and play a full 90 minutes is really giving Pirlo these chances to, say, you know, be a little more defensive and play on the counter that we saw against saw against Roma, because you look at the way Chiellini's playing. This is, I mean, you know, obviously he hasn't played much these last couple of years, but this might be the best we're seeing him as he shakes off all this rust that we've seen him, you know, before the knee injury.
Of course. And I don't think not to, you know, declare victory before time, you know, I mean, this is, he's played, you know, I don't know, like 5 matches. So let's not say that he's going to, you know, stay healthy for the rest of the season. But if he were, a big part of it is going to be, you know, rotation. A big part of it is going to be giving him as much rest as possible. And the roster, as it's currently constructed, has exactly that depth and has that flexibility to give him that resting time. You know, I mean, what other team can, you know, take out a guy like Chiellini or take out a guy like Bonucci and bring in at De Ligt or bring in at Demiral, right? Like, you're talking about, there's maybe a little bit of a difference in quality, but you're not bringing in a scrub by any means. So I'm assuming that for next game against Inter, which we'll get to it in a minute, but I'm assuming that for the, you know, second leg against Inter, they're going to throw out, you know, Demiral and Ligt probably and give Chiellini some rest. And that still leaves you with two very good center backs at that position. You're not making a huge risk by starting those two guys. So, you know, obviously fingers crossed, but I think that the prospect of having a healthy Giorgio Chiellini for the rest of the season is, I mean, it's massive. It changes the whole perspective of what you can do from a formation-wise, from a player-wise, from a depth-wise. It just gives Andrea Pirlo so many, you know, variants to play with. And I think that's something that, at least personally, I wasn't counting on when the season started. I just thought if he plays a couple matches here and there and it's a good locker room presence, that's all gravy, right? But to see him play and play consistently and play really, really well is just, I mean, it's really much more than what I expected personally from the captain this year.
And you mentioned it after the game or during the end of the game, Sergio. How demoralizing do you think it is for an opposing team as Juve's shutting up shop, really, you know, hunkering down for the final portion of the game, and here comes Matthijs de Ligt off the bench?
Yeah,
that like, has to, come on.
That has to, and I think in previous years, on paper, I guess Juventus always have good, quote unquote, good depth, but I think this is the first year in which this is the actual depth that was promised, that this is what the team was supposed to be. Because you look at the subs and it's like, oh, cool. They took out, like, they bring in Kulusevski, the best young player in Serie A last year. They bring in Juan Cuadrado, one of the, you know, better fullbacks in the league. They bring in Matthijs de Ligt. They bring in Mary Demiral. They bring in this dude. They bring Federico Bernardeschi, but, you know, whatever. They bring in these dudes that in any other team in the league would be, and they, a lot of them are starters here in Juve too, but I mean, all of these dudes, they come from the bench. It's like, what are we talking about here? Like, how do you bring those guys? How do you have the ability to bring that quality from the bench? I mean, just from a moral aspect for the opposing team, it has to suck. And for Juve as a team, just to have that ability to bring in those guys, I mean, it's a game changer. It really is.
Reminds me of something that happened years ago. This was, I think it was 2015, 16. No, later than that, even. I think it was Higuain's first year with the team. We were sitting at Legends and we're watching a game. It was that game that they like laid an egg against Genoa at the Marassi and were like down 3-0 and then scored 2 goals in stoppage time to make it look respectable. And so we're watching the game at Legends, and next to us are a couple of old guys from the Bologna fan group that has its home at Legends. And they were also behind, and they brought in like Sergio Floccari as a replacement. And like 2 seconds later, Higuain came off the bench for us. And one of the Bologna guys took a quick glance at his TV and just said, oh, for God's sakes, we're putting on Floccari. They're putting on, they're putting on Higuain. Like there was just like this, that resignation and despair in his voice as he said it. But it is so true to just see all these guys. And especially, and even for a team, like you said, Sergio, like Roma, which isn't bad, they're certainly not, you know, top top of the table quality right now, but they're not bad either. Even for a team like them, that's got to hurt.
Yeah, that definitely. And like I said, it always was in theory what Juventus wanted to do, as every big club wants to do, but it didn't always happen in practice. Like, I'm just going to, you know, pick up a scab here of a few bad memories for us Juve fans. But, you know, in the 2017 Champions League final, this is who we brought in as subs to turn the game around.
No, don't do it.
Don't talk about it. No, stop.
Because it's hilarious. It's Juan Cuadrado, significantly worse Juan Cuadrado at the time, who got red carded immediately afterwards, but whatever. Then Claudio Marchisio and Mario Lemina. Mario Lemina, the immortal Mario Lemina, who was the big gun that we brought from the bench. And
a lot of that had to do with the fact that Piazza had gotten hurt, and so there were no other forwards based off of that formation that Max came up with.
Yeah, even if it were,
you're bringing in Marco Piazza. Like, if that guy is going to solve your issue, like, you know, it's
hey, still, don't forget how Piazza. Great. Don't forget how promising Piazza actually looked that season. I mean, it was the injury that he suffered on international duty that year really did kill his career, because I thought he was looking up. I mean, remember, he had just scored the winning goal against Porto in one leg of the round of 16. Like, he had just scored his debut Serie A goal to the right before he went on that international break. Like, that could have been a much different career for him if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. As one of the few people on the Marco Piazza bandwagon, I agree.
You're still driving that bus, aren't you, Sergio?
Look, listen, he's like 23 or something, right? Like, at this point, like, you don't know. He might pan out. He's finally playing in Genoa, I think, actually, right? Like, when they loan him out there, so.
Yeah, with the 17 other players that Juventus and Genoa either have agreements with or whatever. Marco Piazza, 25 years old. He'll be 26 in May.
Well, late bloomer. Like, that could still happen.
Like Sergio mentioned, Juventus also has a big Coppa Italia semifinal second leg against Inter coming up here in a few days. We are recording on Sunday morning, so it will be about 48 hours from when we were talking. And obviously, we saw Pirlo field a much stronger starting 11 than he had been the first couple rounds that Juventus participated in the Coppa. Inter were missing a few of their big guns. They get them back, but they're also going to be missing a few other people for the second leg in Turin this Tuesday. Thoughts on the first leg? Thoughts on the second leg? And can Juventus do what they did in Milan last week and really, even though they don't need to win, be able to hold off an Inter team that's obviously going to come out, you know, full guns blazing, looking to flip the 2-1 scoreline?
I think it's going to be a much different game than last week, very much because what you said, them getting two big guns back off the suspension, Romelu Lukaku and Achraf Hakimi, who just make that team the two of them put that team on a different level than the one that Juventus played on Tuesday. Lukaku is just so bullishly strong, holding up and making linking up with Martinez, and Hakimi is just a terror on that right flank, that right wing, the way that we saw in the Serie A game. I think that we'll probably be seeing Alexandro out on that right side, on that left flank, try to match up with him, try to get as solid a defense as possible. I actually disagree with Sergio a little bit. I would chance it and let Chiellini play on Tuesday, because he and Lukaku he is the best matchup, I think, for Lukaku amongst the Juventus center backs. I mean, that Serie A game was really the first time, I think, that Lukaku had even made a peep in his career in a head-to-head against Chiellini. Before that, I remember there was the Euro game in 2016 between Italy and Belgium that Chiellini had him in his back pocket. When we played Manchester United in the Champions League and Lukaku was playing there, he again just really didn't do much. So I think if Chiellini feels okay, feels up to it physically, I would throw him out there. I would try to use him to blanket Lukaku and try to eliminate him as a big factor. The other thing is it's entirely possible that Leonardo Bonucci isn't going to be fit for the game. They say so far that it's not a significant injury, but you know, he's only playing 72 hours later. So we'll see what he actually can put out. But yeah, it's going to be a heck of a game. It's going to be and this might be another situation where Pirlo is really going to have to split the difference between going after a goal that will really help on the aggregate and kind of clamming up, because Inter need at least two to have any chance. So does Pirlo straight up park the bus, which really isn't his style, but we saw that a little bit here against Roma, although not to an absurd degree. Or do you let the guys play a little bit more, try to get the goal first, and then let things sort out from there?
Yeah, I agree on the point that I also believe that Chiellini would be the better option on the back line against Inter because of the Lukaku factor, like you mentioned. And also, especially because I very much doubt that Bonucci will be fit enough to play there. And they probably won't chance him either way. But I also, I guess it's one of those things that you just have to play by ear, right? Like, ask the player, figure it out with the medical staff, because, yes, he's playing great, but, he does have a lengthy injury history. And I would hate to, see him kind of like back in the injury list because they played him a lot, in a few matches. But yeah, I agree. And even if Chiellini doesn't play, like we were saying, right, like throwing in Matthijs de Ligt as, hey, you figure out Lukaku. I think that's not a bad guy to have in your back pocket. So we'll see how Pirlo decides to go at it. From a, just a lineup perspective, I think we're going to see a lot of, like Sam said, something very similar to what we saw against Roma. So a team that does not necessarily, give possession to the other team all game long, that does not necessarily, park the bus like we were talking about, but that is very much more it's very much more defense centric than possession centric. And so I think we're going to see something similar because they do have those two away goals to play with. And it's going to be interesting to see. Definitely Inter is a completely different team with Hakimi, but again, Juve is a completely different team when Gianluca Frabotta is not your left back and has to match up with him. So I think it's just going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be two teams that are much more fit and much more in form than what we had seen at this point, because in the first leg, you could tell, well, Inter doesn't have Lukaku, Inter doesn't have Hakimi. And in the first match of the Serie A matchup, you could, say the same thing, Juve doesn't have, anybody on the left wing, Juve doesn't have this, Juve doesn't have that. So I think this is going to be the first match that is, quote unquote, full strength from both sides. And there's definitely going to be fireworks. I definitely hope to see Juventus move forward. And yeah, we'll see what happens. If I had to make a prediction, that will definitely come true. I think Juve, finds a goal early on and then it's just, white knuckling until the final whistle.
It's also going to be interesting to see what Inter does to replace Arturo Vidal, because Vidal is suspended. My guess would be that would maybe be Stefano Sensi, who has been kind of up and down since he joined Inter. And also, here's the other one, Sergio. I'm surprised you didn't mention it. Will we see a late game cameo from your son, or is he gonna finally be ready and fit to go?
I mean, that's tough, right? Because they've been moving that timeline a lot. I think at the beginning, I think the goal was to have him ready early February, right? And then they moved it, and then it was going to be like mid February. Now the latest I've heard is that the plan is to have him ready to go for the Porto matchup in the Champions League. It's I don't know. It's not super clear when is he going to be back at this point. It'd be nice to see him play against Inter, especially if they're up and, last 15 minutes or so, and you can bring a guy like that to see if you can muster a counter or something. Or if, God forbid, they're down, and then you can bring him to try to conjure up some magic and win the matchup. Who knows? But at this point, it's very murky, I think. Well, from what I've read and from what I've heard, I think it's very murky. He's injury development, I guess.
And I think it says something that there was even some talk that he could, that they thought there was an outside chance he'd be on the bench yesterday. And, you know, maybe if not Inter, maybe, you know, to see him get a couple of minutes against Napoli, which is going to be another interesting game because Napoli is down their top two center backs at this point, especially since you could tell he was just starting to click in right when he suffered that injury.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see what his form turns out to be, or if he's going to have to take another couple of weeks to kind of build up momentum before he really starts making an impact again. Cause he was starting to that, like, you know, that assist he had against Milan, which was only, I mean, like, he was playing in the Milan game, which was not that long ago, which is an amazing, I mean, it just feels like it feels like it's been such a long time, but it really hasn't in calendar terms, but because there've been so many games in between, it feels like he's been gone for months.
Yeah, it was early January, that Milan game. Like, I mean, that's when he was starting to click and he was starting to actually, you know, kind of figure out, you know, his best spot in the lineup and the best way to use him. And then, you know, he gets hurt again. It just been the season from hell for Paulo Dybala. And, you know, if you go by his Instagram feed alone, which I do, he's roaring back to go. Like, you know, he's just posting a bunch of pictures from training and, you know, one picture of him in a full kit supporting the team from home. I mean, he looks like he really, really, you know, is kind of like chomping at the bit to be back in the lineup. And again, we go back to what we were talking about, you know, depth. I mean, they have managed to have this long streak of wins and good play without literally the best player in the league last year. I mean, there's not a lot of teams that could do that could survive, you know, one of their better players just being out for so long and out of form for so long. And in one way or another, they have managed to get the results either way. So if you bring in a guy like Paulo Dybala back into the lineup, that is, you know, for a team that is already playing like pretty well, I mean, that's just a major boost. And that's what this depth can give you as a team, just this flexibility, these added weapons. I mean, if you are under Pirlo, you have to be, you know, just smiling, green to like ear to ear, because you have so many alternatives, so many variables, so many talented guys to kind of like fit in. And it has to give you fits if you're playing against Juventus, because you just don't know who's going to be out there, you know, and they're all good players. So I'm excited to see Paulo Dybala back. I hope it's as soon as possible. If it's not the Inter game, you know, the Napoli game ain't so bad, like Sam mentioned. They do have center backs, but it's not their first choice center back. So that'd be kind of like a nice game to bring him back into the fold, but we'll see. I mean, just the fact that we're talking to him about like a nice plus, like a nice bonus, and not necessarily a guy that has to come in and, you know, take the team on his back. I mean, that's just still gravy for Juventus right now.
Not only has he been training at home, he's been training with his dog, who has been very involved in his last few gym sessions that he's posted about on Instagram.
A very good dog. A top dog, if I say. An elite dog.
Yes. There are a lot of dog dads on this Juventus roster, and Paulo Dybala definitely has one of the best dogs of the group. And also, something else that we're saying about the Copa, I believe it was James Horncastle mentioned it during the craziness of the first leg between Juventus and Inter, and just kind of how unpredictable this Copa campaign has been. I mean, you look at some of the scores from, obviously, you know, Napoli, Atalanta was nothing. It was rather dull, but just the Copa, once most of the bigger Serie A clubs got in, and it's just been just back and forth and nonstop. And I mean, I got to think that Pirlo's going to at least try and get at least one goal just for a little bit of breathing room. Cause I mean, like we've been saying, Inter's going to obviously have Lukaku back. They're going to have Hakimi back, but they also need goals. And like Sam said, they need a couple of goals to advance, since Juve has two valuable away goals of their own. So yeah, it's going to be definitely interesting to see how he approaches it, not only to try and get a goal for Juventus, but then if they do get that goal, do they hunker down like they did against Roma this past weekend, or do they really kind of go for the kill shot after that and try and put Inter away once and for all? Because I mean, you look at the way Inter played in the first leg, and they were the better side for large portions of that game. So
the first leg was just so sloppy on both sides. Like, yeah, it was not a well-played match. It's what I said in my recap. Like, Juventus won because they took advantage of more of Inter's mistakes than Inter did of Juve's. And I don't know if that's a product of just this idiot schedule, just wiping everybody, just sapping everybody's mental and physical abilities, or if it was just one of those games. And sometimes the derby is like that. I mean, I was actually relatively surprised that there were 22 guys on the field when the whistle blew at the end. But if this game is, if Juve play crisper and make fewer mistakes than they did last week, I don't think there will be much of a issue to get in terms of advancing, because Inter do have a hill to climb. But if they make those same mistakes with Hakimi and Lukaku on the field, that it could turn into a real interesting game really, really quick, and for Juve, bad situation very, very quickly.
Exactly. And something that we didn't, mention, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it would make an impact in the case of Juve going through to the final, is that a bunch of Juve players have yellow cards. So if they got another yellow card in the second leg, they would be suspended for the final, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't have the list in front of me right now, but the last time I checked, it was a good amount of guys. I'm pretty sure I think Chiesa was among them. I think Bentancur was one of the guys. There were a lot of players that were yellow carded in the first leg, or they already had an accumulation or whatever, and they would be at risk of being suspended for the final. So I think that's a little wrinkle there that, I mean, just for a game like Sam said, like the derby, which is always kind of, it's always kind of choppy. A bunch of guys are going to have to be really careful if they don't want to miss the final.
I can give you that list right now. It's Bentancur, Bernardeschi, Chiesa, Rabiot, Demiral, Ronaldo, Sandro Delict, Artur Morata. Those are the guys that have been booked over the first three games of the Copa for Juve.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, because I remember seeing the list. I just don't have it in front of me, and I was like, damn, that's like the whole team. That's like pretty much everyone. So, I mean, that's gonna be rough if they get another yellow card, they get suspended for the final, and that. I mean, I like the guy, but if Bernardeschi gets another yellow card, I think they can survive without him on the final. But if another guy gets, I don't know if Ronaldo gets it. That's a big player that they can't have on the final. So they're going to have to be really, really careful. And in a matchup against Inter, in which we assume there's going to be a lot of defending, I mean, I'd be nervous about that. I'd be really, really nervous about that.
All right. We will we'll wrap things up on that note. Hopefully we have some good things to say about Juventus' second leg of the Coppa Italia when we come back together, hopefully with Chucks, who's proving to be a businessman, not a business man today. So we wish Chucks the best with his business ventures that caused him to miss this week's recording. As always, you can follow us on social media at Juventus Nation on Twitter, Black and White and Red all over on Facebook. Same search options whether you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Search Black and White and Red all over. As always, you can send in Twitter questions if you'd like to at Juventus Nation. We will answer them as we so please. So for Sam, for Sergio, and for the, should we say resting? Is he getting the week off? Resting Chucks? This is Danny saying
more weeks off than any of the players are.
He's getting yes. Andrea Pirlo needs to go with our resting tactics. Sergio got the week off last week. Chuck's getting the weekend off this week. I guess you're next up then. So
doing the McKinney thing.
There you go. You're playing pulling a Danilo, playing every minute of every match. So for my three cohorts, this is Danny saying thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.